I'd like you to turn with me this evening, please, to the Gospel of Luke. We're turning to Luke's Gospel in the chapter 19. I'd like, first of all, to thank Reverend McKee for his invitation to come minister the Word here once again in Macrofelta. Many, many fond, special memories of being in Macrofelta in the past. We've made many friends over the years, and those have been lasting friendships. It's a joy to be in Macrofelta once again, and it's good to renew fellowship with your former minister, Reverend McRae, as well. And also I thank the Lord for in his providence that I'm here the night that the plaque was unveiled in the memory of dear brother Sandy Lennox. I first met Sandy in 1974. When I commenced as a student in the theological hall of our denomination and was then able to go to the presbytery meetings, that's when I first met Sandy. One thing that always stood out with me, no matter when you saw him or spoke to him, he was always smiling, as Mr. McRae made mention tonight. And so we do rejoice in being here this evening and to be part of that ceremony there in the hallway. I do bring you greetings from our work in Port Hope, and I want to thank you very much for your prayerful and practical support over the years. I thank the Lord for the church here in Macrofelta and how they've supported us. The work there in Port Hope in Ontario, Canada, has been very, very much appreciated, and I really mean that, very much appreciated, and I do thank you once again. So we're turning to Luke chapter 19. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, and we'll begin our reading at the verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. We'll end the reading at the 10th verse. I pray the Lord will use the reading of this portion of Scripture tonight to his glory as we consider the truth of God's Word. And before we look into the Word, let us, with God's Word open before us, let us unite our hearts together in prayer and pray over the Word. Let us pray. Our loving and eternal God and gracious Father, we still our hearts in thy holy presence this evening. And O Lord, we would say with those of old, The day is far spent. It is toward evening. Lord, abide with us. May we know the abiding presence of Christ in this meeting tonight, thanking thee, Lord, for all that has gone before, and praying, Lord, thou wilt bless the Lennox family, thanking thee for the memory of our brother Sandy. Now, Lord, we turn to thy word, and I pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt grant to me the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to preach the word. And, dear Lord, in the preaching of the word, may I always and ever preach Christ. Help us, Lord, to preach Christ tonight and lift him up. For he has said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, show us tonight that drawing power. We pray in the Savior's holy and precious name. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and our text for this evening is the verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, that is Zacchaeus, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Every Sunday school child has, I'm sure, heard the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he passed by that way. The story, I'm sure, appeals to the imagination of children. A little man who climbed up into a sycamore tree. Something that children like to do, want to do, and perhaps have done. But what we are told about Zacchaeus is much more than a story for children. Rather, it is the record of an event which took place during the earthly and public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. An event that happened as the Savior made his way to Calvary, leaving Jericho and pressing on towards Jerusalem. We have before us the account of the salvation of a man who may be regarded as one of the worst sinners that we read about in God's Word. J.C. Ryle, the first Protestant bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle said this, "If ever there was a soul sought and saved without having done anything to deserve it, that soul was Zacchaeus." Which teaches us that no soul is so deeply steeped in sin, no soul, no man, no woman is too far away from God that Christ cannot reach them and save them. No one is beyond the power of God's grace. No one is beyond the power of Christ's blood that they cannot be reached, rescued, and redeemed. Praise the Lord. That's what we have here recorded by Luke. And it is my prayer. The prayer of the minister of this church and the session of this church and the office bearers and the congregation as we were in the prayer meeting tonight. It is their prayer that there'll be a Zacchaeus in this meeting tonight. It has been their prayer that there will be in this service tonight a brand plucked from the burning. And here in this service tonight, some soul rescued and redeemed by the power of the blood of Christ. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. For he did it for this man, Zacchaeus. So let us look at this individual, this person who so many children in Sabbath school are so familiar with. First of all, let us look at the characteristics of this man, Zacchaeus. Even though a multitude accompanied the Savior as he entered and passed through Jericho, yet the focus was on a man. Read in verse 2, and behold, there was a man. Whatever else he was just a man. There was a man, Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Zacchaeus comes from a Hebrew word that means pure. It was a common name amongst the Jewish people, Zacchaeus. What did the parents of Zacchaeus have in mind when they named this child when he was born? They named him Zacchaeus, knowing the meaning of that name. It means pure. Did they name him Zacchaeus because it was their desire, perhaps their prayer, that this child who had come into the world and they named him Zacchaeus, they were hopeful. It was their desire that this child of theirs would grow up into a man who would live a pure life, who would be a man who would always do good. But that's not the way it turned out. That's not the way it turned out. Instead, he was known by one and all as a sinful man. You read there in the verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. All men are sinners. You're sinners. I'm a sinner. But regarding Zacchaeus, his sin set him apart from many others. That's how he was known. That's why they said, Christ has gone to the home of the house to be a guest of a man that is a sinner, a man whose sin had set him apart. That's how it was. That's how Zacchaeus was recognized. That's how the people recognized him, as a sinner above all others, because of the way he lived. Many a parent has had high hopes for their children. Christian parents, and they've given their children Bible names. From the day they were born, they prayed that they would turn out like David or Daniel or Mark or John. Or they would turn out like Mary, who was known for her devotion to Christ. But things haven't turned out that way. Maybe you come from a Christian home tonight, and your mom and dad gave you a name that you're familiar with because it's a name found in the Bible. And they have had high hopes for you. They prayed for you. They wanted you to turn out to be a man or a woman of God, but it hasn't happened that way, has it? Still in your sin. Still without Christ. Still a stranger to grace and to God. Well, I trust that the prayers of your mum and dad will be answered here tonight. One to notice here regarding the characteristics of this man, we notice the description of the man. We are informed that this Zacchaeus was the chief among the publicans. Publicans, that refers to tax collectors. It is no wonder that the writer of the third gospel wants to draw our attention to the man whom the Lord met that day on his way to Jerusalem. The evangelist Luke wants us to pay attention to this man, because we are told in verse 2, and behold, see the word, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Luke didn't just say there was a man called Zacchaeus. No, behold, there was a man. He wants to draw our attention to this man. Behold, there was a man who was called Zacchaeus. He was chief among the publicans. He was the chief tax collector. No, he wasn't a fine, upstanding citizen of the city of Jericho. No, he wasn't a well-liked, popular member of the community. No, he wasn't known for his religious beliefs and his regular attendance at the local synagogue. No, he was none of those things. He was a man who was known by his sin. Remember when my wife and I got married and we settled down in Tandragee? There was a man there in that town who owned a shop. And he'd come to see my father every now and again. And whenever he would come or plan to come, my mother and father would send me and my brothers away up into our room. Because this man had one of the vilest and most filthy tongues you ever heard. My parents didn't want us to listen to that man and the language that he used. And I tell you something, everybody in that town knew all about that man. And everybody knew the kind of tongue he had. That's what set him apart. His vile tongue. And here is Zacchaeus. And Luke says, behold. I want you to pay attention to the fact that this man, Zacchaeus, got saved that day on the road to Jerusalem. Even though his sin set him apart. This man, Zacchaeus, was perhaps one of the most hated, despised individuals anywhere in the land. Why? Because he was the chief tax collector. And such an individual was despised, because what he would do, he would go and collect money from the poor. He was rich. He would go and gather the taxes. And the money that he gathered were for the oppressors, the Romans. That made it even worse. Despised and hated by his fellow Jews because of his position and because of his possessions, he was rich and probably ill-gained riches, because very often it was known in history books that tax collectors would collect their taxes and put some of it in their own pocket. So hated. He was rich, and the people he took his money from were poor. Who would want to have anything to do with a man like Zacchaeus? One person. The Lord Jesus Christ was interested in Zacchaeus. A man hated and despised by everyone around him. Christ was interested in him. And I'll tell you something tonight. Doesn't matter what you have done. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter the life you've lived. Christ is interested in you. That's the Savior I believe in. That's the Savior I preach. A Savior who loves sinners. And he was interested in Zacchaeus. Description of the man. You have the desire of the man. It would appear that Zacchaeus had been told about this stranger of Galilee. He didn't know who it was. And that he was coming because we're told in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Didn't know the Lord, but he wanted to see him. Rather like the Greeks who had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. And then they went to his disciples and they said to the Lord's disciples, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They wanted to see Christ too. And here's the case. And he wanted to see the Lord. He had that desire. How I would love for somebody in this meeting tonight to have the same desire. Someone who would want not only to see the Lord Jesus, but to know him. To know Christ. And Zacchaeus came to know Christ that day. That wonderful day. And I can tell you, every man, woman, and young person in this meeting tonight who know Christ, thank God for that wonderful day when Christ saved them. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. Never will. But there are others here tonight, and you can't look to a day like that. Sure you can. You still don't know the Lord. Maybe those that have attended this church for years, and since we're talking about Brother Sandy tonight, he has spoken to you about the Lord over the years, hasn't he? Hasn't he? Didn't they exhort you to come and receive the Lord, didn't they? Still, you're in your sin. And you stand before God in the day of judgment. Listen, you'll be without excuse. You will not be able to tell the great judge sitting there on the white throne. You'll not be able to say, "Nobody told me." Sandy Lennox told you. Reverend McRae told you. Reverend McKee has told you. Maybe countless others have told you. I tell you, my friend, on the day of judgment, you'll be without excuse. There are many in this world, and they've never been told, but you have been told time without number. I would not like to be in your shoes. the description and the desire of this man, you have the discouragement for the man. We are told that he wanted to see Jesus, but could not for the press because he was little of stature. I think maybe that's what also appeals to children in the Sabbath school, is a little man. And he wanted to see Jesus, but because of the press or the crowd. There was such a crowd there that day, he couldn't get in through the crowd and he couldn't see over the top of the crowd. The crowd that lined the streets discouraged Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. You know, that's a familiar story. Happens all the time. You say, what do you mean? Well, you sit in a gospel meeting. The word of God is preached. The gospel is proclaimed. The Spirit of God is at work in the meeting. And you come under conviction. And you say, I'd love to get saved. And like a flash, devil comes. What about your friends? They're part of that crowd. What about your friends? Worldly friends, drinking friends. And you think to yourself, what would they say? What would they say if I got saved? What would they say if I said I was a Christian or had become a Christian? And that puts you off, doesn't it? It's like the crowd, discouraging Zacchaeus. Or maybe in that crowd there are members of your family. Maybe you come tonight from a home or a family that have no time for the Lord. And you think to yourself, well, what will they say if I go home and tell them I've got saved? What will they say if I go home tonight and tell them I'm a Christian? And it puts you off. It's a discouragement to you. Isn't that right? And maybe in that crowd there are those you would regard as your foes, your enemies, people you don't get on with at all. And you think to yourself, oh, how they would laugh at me. How they would go around the factory and say, did you hear about so-and-so? He's got good living. He's become a goody-goody. And that's put you off, hasn't it? Oh, it's put you off, all right. You've been discouraged from seeking Christ. You need a bit of determination. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord one day, Jesus, thou son of David. And the crowd said to Bartimaeus, more or less, don't say anything. Don't be crying out. Keep your peace. But then we're told there in Mark 10, and he cried out all the more. He was determined. He was determined. And that night or that day, his eyes were opened. You know, people tend to think that becoming a Christian is a sort of a sissy thing, you know. Well, could I challenge you tonight and ask you, would you be brave enough? Would you be courageous enough? Would you be determined enough tonight to make Christ your Savior? And go out of this church here as a child of God. Would you show a bit of courage tonight? Are you going to let those ungodly friends put you off? That leads us to the determination of the man. Zacchaeus was not going to be easily put off when the crowd hindered him, prevented him from seeing Christ, because we read then in verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Mark those words. He was to pass that way. But he was determined. You get it into your mind. Just sort of imagine the picture. There's the Savior. He's walking along the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And there's a crowd of people all around him. And there's this wee man at the back of the crowd. And people see this wee man running up the road, and then climbing up a tree. An adult. Different if it had been a child, but seeing an adult, a grown man, climbing up into a tree. No wonder did they say, look at that grown man climbing up into a tree like a child. But while others may have laughed at him and while others may have criticized him, we look at the situation tonight and we commend him. Good man, Zacchaeus, you did the right thing. Doesn't matter what people think of you. Doesn't matter if people laugh at you, Zacchaeus. They may laugh you into hell, but they'll not laugh you out of it. You did the right thing, Zacchaeus. And you would do the right thing tonight. If you made your way to Christ. Zacchaeus was not going to let this opportunity of seeing Christ pass him by. Because you see, the Lord had just come through Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He would never pass that way again. Think of that. This was Zacchaeus, and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And he wasn't for letting that opportunity to pass him by, for the Lord would never pass that way again. You know what the application is? As far as you're concerned, the Lord may not pass this way again. Tonight, the 5th day of January, in the year 2020, tonight, could be your last opportunity. To get right with God. Because the Lord may never pass this way again. And if he never passes this way again, all the prayers in all our churches will not save you. And many have prayed for you. He's passing this way today. He's passing this way tonight. And so for the chief of tax collectors, the Lord would never be this near to him ever again. Is there anyone here then? In this meeting, is there anyone here in this meeting, no matter what friends may think, no matter what family may think, no matter what your foes may think, Is there anyone here right now who will make Christ their Savior? I urge you, lay hold on this opportunity, as it were, with both hands. Maybe your last. I know in one of our churches a number of years ago, the man and his wife were in the evening gospel service. The gospel was preached. The wife was saved, the husband wasn't. They prayed for her husband for a long time. Gospel was preached that Sabbath evening. And as they made their way home after the Sabbath evening service, they're involved in the car crash. The husband was killed. What a tragedy. That was the husband's last opportunity. The Savior never passed that way again for that man. I'm not trying to scare you around, like, I'm telling you the truth. And here tonight, the Lord is in this meeting. And he's ready, and he's able, and he's willing to save your soul. Now, what about it? If the characteristics of the man, there's the conversion of the man. When I come to the remarkable conversion of Zacchaeus, we now read, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, that is, when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was. Came to the place where Zacchaeus was, just as the Lord has come to this place tonight, where you are. That's right. Through the gospel, Christ has come to this place, Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. The Lord has come to this place tonight through the gospel. He's here. He's here. He came to the place where Zacchaeus was, then we are told that he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus was such an individual that nobody else would have been interested in him. There are many people who wouldn't have cared if they never saw Zacchaeus ever again because of what he was. But the Lord Jesus came to the place where he was and looked up. There wouldn't have been too many in that crowd who would have looked up at Zacchaeus, but Jesus did. That's who he is, you see. We read in John chapter 5 about the day the Lord passed by the pool of Bethesda, and there were a multitude of impotent folk lying there by the pool. And at a certain time every year, an angel would come down, touch the waters, and the first person into the waters in the pool, we're told, they were healed. There was one man who had been ill, listen, for 36 years. And think of it. A man lying by that pool for that length of time. And the Lord came by that day and nobody else was interested in him. And he came by the pool of Bethesda. Incidentally, Bethesda means the house of mercy. And the Lord looked at that man. The Lord spoke to him. If he would be healed. You know what the man said? He told the Lord, he says, I have no man who, when the waters are troubled, will put me into the pool. You think of it. I have no man. In other words, there wasn't one person in that crowd at the pool of Bethesda who was interested in helping that man. He says, I have no man. He was a man without a friend, not one friend. Until he met Christ. And in Christ, he found the best friend any man could have. The Lord was interested in that one man that nobody else was interested in. And so Christ tonight has come to this place where you are. And as he was interested in Zacchaeus, he was interested in the man of the pool of Bethesda, he's interested in you. And what he did for Zacchaeus, he can do for you. You notice there the request. While Zacchaeus didn't know Christ, Christ knew all about him. Isn't that what has taken place here tonight? Isn't it? A lot of people here, I don't know. But we sought to preach the word, and as we preach the word tonight with the Lord's help, you know the Lord's speaking to you. You know it. What we've said tonight, you've really said in your own heart, that's right, that's what I am, that's who I am. The Lord knows all about you. The Lord has been calling out your name. And as the Lord spoke to Zacchaeus, so you know. The Lord has spoken to you tonight. You know that. I think you have to admit that. Yes, the Lord's spoken to me tonight. Now, what are you going to do? Remember, he may not pass this way again. As the Lord spoke to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And looking at these words from the Savior's mouth, we notice that there was great urgency in them. The Lord said, make haste. The Lord said, today. The Lord said, I must abide in thy house. Remember, the Lord was only passing this way for the last time. And here the Lord himself emphasizes a great truth. You need to hurry. You need to make haste. You can't leave this matter. You cannot say, I'll leave it to another time. No, you can't. You can't afford it. Friend, I'm telling you, you can't afford to do that. We're dealing with your soul. We're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with hell tonight. But the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You can't fool around with this. You can't afford to put it off. It's a matter which must be attended to with haste. I know the devil's talking to you and saying, well, there's always tomorrow. No, the Lord said, today I must abide in thy house. The devil will say, wait, plenty of time. No, the Lord said, make haste. The devil will say, you don't need to be saved. But the Lord said to Zacchaeus, ye must. That's what the Lord told the man who came to him. The Lord said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It's Just one other thought and I'll leave it tonight. You have the response. Oh, that man would respond to the word of the Lord and the call of Christ and the gospel as Zacchaeus did, because we read in verse 6, and he made haste. He did exactly what the Lord said. He made haste. He came down and received him joyfully. He received Christ. But there's another part of the story. Zacchaeus received Christ, and glory to God, Christ received Zacchaeus. Christ received him. It's always wise to make haste when it comes to this matter of salvation. No delay, no debate, no doubting. He simply responded to the Lord's word. Would you do that? He made haste and he came down and received him. Listen, received him joyfully. Filled his heart with joy. And your heart tonight can be filled with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What about it? Come on. Why not play the man and face up to it? Don't try and put it at the back of your mind. Face up to the matter. You need Christ, and he's here. He's here. He's ready to save you. Zacchaeus made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. You can go out of this house tonight full of joy, knowing your sins have been forgiven, knowing you're on your way to heaven where Brother Sandy is tonight, looking into the face of him who is altogether loved. You want to join them there, don't you? You want to be with them, don't you? Well, this is it. This is the night. This is the night. He came down, received him joyfully. Would you receive Christ tonight? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's just still our hearts for a moment. Meeting's over. We'll soon be getting up, going home. You've heard the Lord's word. The Lord has said, make haste. The Lord said, today must abide in thy house. Are you going to be courageous enough to come to Christ tonight? If you'd like to know the Lord, if you want to come to the Lord tonight and receive him as your Savior, there's the Reverend McRae, there's the Reverend McKee, there's the elders, there are the elders. And myself, I'd be happy, more than happy, to show you how you can go home tonight rejoicing in sins forgiven. Remember, he may never pass this way again. May you come to Christ tonight. Oh, may you come to Christ tonight. Our dear Lord and eternal gracious Father, pray there'll be a Zacchaeus in this meeting this night who will indeed make haste and come down. And as Zacchaeus came down to the foot of that sycamore tree and received Christ, Lord, we know there's another tree. May some soul or souls tonight receive Christ at the foot of that tree, that cross that stood there on Calvary's hill. Lord, I pray, save souls tonight. Be with us now, Lord, the rest of the evening. And grant us all traveling mercy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.